Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Bill Martinez coming at you live. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. You want to listen to past interviews. Maybe there was a piece of an interview that you came in late on. It's all right there, for our gift to you. And thank you for joining in. Also, a bunch of different sponsors that support the show that we believe will add to your day and be a benefit as well. So check them out. Hey, Bruce Thatcher is with us right now, the author of the breakthrough book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. He's also the founder of History Speaks Today, a project dedicated to sharing lessons learned from history to help us avoid making the same mistakes. What a novel concept, right? That we should look back at history and so that we're not having to do this again. But for some reason, we find ourselves in this country today tossing aside all immutable laws. Let's just toss out history and let's do this all over again. Just for some reason, Bruce, I guess because we just don't want to learn from the past, do we?
It seems that we're absolutely dedicated to ignoring the past. That's for certainly true. Speaking of the past, I've been listening to your conversations with folks about Phyllis Schlafly, and I brought to mind how back in 1964, Carol and I were living in the Chicago area and working on the Goldwater campaign. Her presence and her choice not an echo were significant elements of that campaign at that time. Mm-hmm. But history, I listened to the Trump speech on immigration in detail because I was very interested in what he had to say on that. And after I got done listening, I thought I would see how I could place that in the context of the three historical principles for successful immigration that are articulated in my book. And so I did that, and then I thought I better look at Clinton's position on those things. And you have to go to her website to see what her position is, and maybe there's been a few speeches, but certainly no policy speech on it. And I was able to take the pieces of the two and put them within that framework. They have one of the most obvious things, and between the two, is on this issue of and importance of clearly defining the long-term national interest that immigration is supposed to serve. And Clinton is pretty clear about that. Almost in the first sentence on the subject on her website, she says that she is committed to the immigrant rights community. And that sets the tone of the position she set forth. She says she'll work to stay true to our fundamental American values, that we're a nation of immigrants and we treat those who come with dignity and respect. Contrast that with Trump's statement. He says immigration must improve jobs, wages, and security for all Americans. The well-being of the American people will reform legal immigration to best serve those interests. And, I mean, they're clearly coming from different places.
Exactly.
No doubt about it. So then you look at they lay out various steps, and it takes a while to put them all together, but Clinton lists 8 separate points. They're mostly soundbite points kinds of things. And of those, 5 of those 8 points are focusing on illegal aliens. And she doesn't call them that, of course. But they're focusing on what she calls the rights of these people who are in the country illegally. And they're focusing on, essentially, the way I look at it, on making it more comfortable and easier for them to be in the country.
Exactly.
If you contrast that to Trump's immigration plan, he has 8 specific points of his 10 specifics have to do with focusing on ending illegal immigration. So, and, you know, he says build a wall, end catch and release, zero tolerance for criminal aliens, and so forth. Her program would essentially be a continuation of what we're doing now.
Mm.
His program would be, assuming he's able to implement it all, will be a clear, different immigration program that begins with clearing out the problem of illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finish up with very little to be said by either one of them on assimilation. Clinton says they're going to support immigrant integration. She's going to create a national office affairs to help make that better and grant funding for community organizations to help that process. Trump says we have an obligation to immigrants and to their children to control future immigration, to ensure assimilation, integration, and upward mobility. We have to choose immigrants based on merit, skill, and proficiency. So, their programs, the two immigration plans are clearly contrasting.
Well, you know, when you look at them, Bruce, just at the surface, again, you have what is consistent with Hillary Clinton's worldview, and that is that you need government to answer the problem. Whereas Trump, you know, like your book and what you've been able to, you know, teach us from history, is that it's got to be a bottom-up movement. I mean, you got to find, you know, I say a round peg for a round hole. Not everybody can come to America and assimilate. They're ideologically incompatible. I mean, there's some bases here. You know, America is not for everybody. But what Hillary is saying, even if it's not for you, we're going to make it for you. You know, with her policies, that's what I'm reading out of this.
Well, and I read much the same thing too. And she says we're going to make it for you, and the way we're going to do that is to change everything around to the way I think. She's going to spend programs. She says she's going to end laws, end the 3-year and 10-year laws which force families into going back and to their country if they're illegal and pursuing a green card by leaving the country. She says she's going to end that law that's been around since 1996. Trump says he's going to enforce that law. She's going to make things. She's going to make an open border position toward that.
Yeah, we have a globalist perspective versus an American first perspective. And Bruce, I don't know if there was ever in my lifetime such a clear distinction between two candidates before. Do you remember one this distinct?
Yeah, it was 1964.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. No, let's, and we'll talk more and pick it up, and you're exactly right. Thank you for reminding me. See, this is why we need you here to help us out. Bruce Thatcher is with us. We're talking immigration here on Bill Martinez Live. Our conversation with Bruce Thatcher, author of the Breakthrough book, and I believe the definitive book on immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. He's also the founder of History Speaks Today. Bruce, you write that the number of immigrants living in the U.S. has increased 810%. And I assume you're talking about legal immigrants here, because that illegal number is nebulous. I mean, we hear numbers ranging from 13 to 22 million. I mean, the fact that it's even that much, undefined is pretty scary, don't you think?
I think it's very scary. We have different agencies, the government and others, say, okay, we have this many illegal immigrants in the country, but those are based on surveys where people don't answer questions. I mean, so, yeah. But what kind of a survey are we doing of illegal immigrants? We don't know.
Right.
How many of them are here? And we don't know how many of them are going to stay here. Trump has said that he has, on his point where he says zero tolerance for criminal aliens, he mentions elsewhere that he estimates that there are 2 million criminal aliens in the country, and he gives some various sources for that estimate. There probably are more. But the interesting thing is that while people talk about his plan and decry it in terms of, oh, we're going to have mass deportation, we're going to deport 11, 12, 15 million people, can't do it, the plan is ridiculous, he isn't saying that.
Right.
He's saying we're going to work really hard and fast to deport 2 million people, the ones who are criminals, the ones who have been convicted of crimes. And I don't mean just the crime of entering the country. So when people are demonizing Trump and his plan and trying to make it look ridiculous, they're picking the numbers they want.
Without a doubt.
And they're misrepresenting what he's saying.
Well, when you think about the humane thing, and you and I have discussed this before, Bruce, when it comes to immigration, you don't want people living in the shadows. You don't want people being taken advantage of. This is what this opens up. I mean, even for, some Hispanics to, not even Hispanics, but just Mexicans coming into this country. I mean, they're paying coyotes, upwards of, $12,000 to get into this country. And for them to get through that process, it's no guarantee that they're coming here to America and all is well. They've got to get through a number of filters that if somebody along the way, some bad actors decide, hey, look at, you're cute. I can use you somewhere and I'm going to put you in line number 3, to do my business. How are they coming in and being free? This is so deleterious on so many levels, but this is what the shadows bring. And we're not even addressing that issue. We're not even addressing the dignity of humanity, of having people come. Look, I understand why people, if you're on the other side of the border and you see the opportunity that's available here in America, if you and I were over there, we would do everything we could to get here. And however it is, and especially when you see a precedent that's been established that says, hey, the Americans will let you jump the line. You can jump the line and come in here. So I blame, all of us. I mean, we're all complicit in this mess of a broken immigration system. Anybody that's hired an illegal, anybody that has supported it because, they're all nice people. And I understand that, but we violate the rule of law. And when we do that, we violate human principle and dignity along the way that everybody loses. So now here we are because this particular can has been kicked down the road so long. We're talking about these incredible numbers. We're talking about anchor babies. We're talking about, we're going to deport the parents and leave the kids here. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, but this is what happens when you have a broken immigration system and you don't have anybody with courage to want to confront these issues and say, let's fix the problem and let's put the light on all the shadows and let's disinfect this messed up system.
And think about what that situation, the illegal alien situation, does for the 40 or 50 million legal immigrants who are in this country and working hard to be, which they are, law-abiding American citizens. Because when you have all this focus in the conversation and in the politics on the illegal population, that creates an impression that carries over and affects the legal immigrants. It affects what people think about them. It affects what they think about themselves. It affects what they think people are thinking about them. We've got to get rid of we have to eliminate the question or eliminate illegal immigration being the major issue or major facet of our immigration conversation.
Mm. What did you think about Trump's visit to Mexico?
I thought it was I couldn't believe it. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. He was invited. He had a great meeting, and it it proved, it demonstrated that Trump is willing to talk with anybody on any side of the problem. I was just absolutely delighted when I saw the news.
Yeah. Well, President Nieto panicked a bit. They had agreed to beforehand they weren't going to talk about the wall. And, of course, the first question is, and you expect it from the mainstream media, I mean, like, what did they expect, a photo op with President Nieto and Donald Trump after their first visit to come out with this oversized check, paid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Paid in the order of building the wall for America, you know, love Mexico, like that was going to come out? Are you kidding me?
Well, Nieto made a big mistake in responding and breaking that agreement or that confidence. Mm-hmm. I don't think that'll affect the relations of a President Trump and a President Nieto at all. Mm-hmm. I think probably both have learned in the process. It was unfortunate, and of course, the press is going to try to bring that stuff out. They're looking for the most dramatic and mostly anti-Trump positions they can find.
Exactly. Well, he panicked and he blinked. I'm talking about President Nieto. And so this is what happens. And a learning lesson for both of them, to your point, Bruce, for one, Donald Trump, and for President Nieto. And, because he tried to save face because, boy, he was getting attacked big time by his local media. They were going after him like, sharks, sensing blood in the water here.
Yeah, that's right. But I think, as I said, I think that what we need to recognize is the importance of this election. Remembering, in 1964, Johnson won, and we got, 1 year later, the immigration policy that we're living with today.
Yes.
So
yeah, plus tax and license, as
I talked
about. Thank you very much. A cell phone and a pen. Thank God we've got some reasonable judges that took away the president's cell phone for a moment, right?
So far.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. But you couldn't ask for a clearer delineation of two candidates, especially as it relates to immigration. Bruce, 10 seconds. Where can people go and connect with you?
You can go to HistorySpeaksToday, all one word, .com.